I am not ashamed of the gospel. For gospel means good news, and it's good news about what is most important, salvation through Messiah Jesus. And this message, this good news, is the power of God that brings salvation, eternal salvation, to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom to the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 audience. This is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, today we're going to have a special guest, Ruth Rosen, the daughter of Moish Rosen. Ruth recently wrote a biography of her father called Called to Controversy. And before I bring Ruth to the audience, I want to pay some tribute to Moish Rosen, who was the most interesting, greatest man I have been privileged to know. Another Messianic Jewish believer, Lon Solomon, said about Moish, "More than any other single person, Moish Rosen has been responsible for putting the idea of being Jewish and believing in Jesus on the map." And I agree with Lon. Moish was the most significant evangelist to the Jewish people in the 20th century and possibly since the time of the Apostle Paul. Moish directly impacted the lives of many Jewish people and Gentile people, and he reached thousands and millions more through others whom he trained and inspired. Moish loved the three-in-one God of Israel. Moish loved the Word of God. He loved his Jewish people. He had a laser-like focus on Jewish evangelism. And Moish loved the church. Moish had a large, generous view of Jewish ministry and was willing to cooperate with many denominations, churches, organizations, and individuals outside of Jews for Jesus. Moish was really unique. He had a unique combination of talents and traits. He knew himself and was comfortable being the eccentric person that God made him to be. Moish was wise, very wise. He was a visionary leader and master strategist. He had a great sense of humor, even at his own expense. Moish had a great mind and was interested in learning more about many parts of God's creation. He loved gadgets and technology, and he was innovative, using new technology to enhance the work of evangelism. Moish was courageous. He chose the hard tasks, but the meaningful tasks, not the easy tasks. He was a gentleman in his personal life and manners, and yet a radical when it came to evangelism. Through courage and creativity and radical thinking and action, Moish created opportunities for the gospel, the good news, to be proclaimed far and wide. Moish was tough, but he was fair. He was a strong, forceful leader, yet kind and gentle. He was generous, hospitable, gracious. Even though I left working for Moish in 1985, Moish didn't write me off, as other people may have. Moish still wanted me to succeed. He wanted me to be involved in Jewish ministry. And as I was just starting Congregation Shema Yisrael, one of the very first donations I received to help me and encourage me and support me was from Moish Rosen. And I have never forgotten that act of generosity and hospitality. Moish was available for anyone. Whenever his time, wise counsel, and advice were needed, he related to and cared for so many different kinds of people, from the small to the great. He placed a premium on training men and women and trained up a generation of leaders involved in Jewish evangelism. Moish was a man of principles. He left a great organization, Jews for Jesus, which is committed to those core principles. Moish was a role model to many, a trainer of many, a mentor to many, a friend of many. And I am privileged to count Moish Rosen as one of my friends. Moish is going to be greatly missed, but not for long and not forever, because God is good, heaven is near, and reunion is sure. Well, That's my tribute to the greatest man I personally ever knew. And with us right now is Ruth Rosen, the daughter of Moish. Ruth is a writer and editor with Jews for Jesus. She has known her Jewish Messiah, Jesus, since she was 6 years old. She's a great writer. She edits the Jews for Jesus newsletter, which is distributed all over the country and, I believe, throughout the world. Ruth recently wrote a book called Call to Controversy, a biography that she authored about her father in what she describes as one of the most challenging and rewarding experiences of her life. Ruth, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Shalom, Rabbi Lauren, and thanks for having me come to chat with you. I especially want to thank you for that beautiful tribute to my dad, to Moish. And, of course, you meant a lot to him, too, which is why you were the one that we asked and chose to come and do his funeral when he was called home. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. I consider that one of the great honors of my life. Ruth, why did you write this book, Called to Controversy?
I wrote the book for different reasons, but most of all, my father lived and had his ministry according to certain principles that were very important to him, that he wanted to make sure would be understood and remembered after he was gone. So on one level, I did that for him to set his mind at ease, but also because I felt that his story has a message for everybody in terms of coming to faith, maybe unexpectedly, and how God wants to use each and every one of us.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable talking about some of those principles that were important to your father that are maybe in the book that we could benefit from?
Yes, some of the principles I think that stick with me most are not things that have been outlined textbook style, but just were so much a part of his life. And Rabbi Lauren, there are things that you already mentioned in your tribute. Moish followed Yeshua's principle of not being a respecter of persons. And as you mentioned, he was interested in all people, those who might be considered small or great. He was always interested in people regardless of their age or how important people might have viewed them from the world standpoint. And that's actually one of the principles that's meant the most to me, is looking at people in that way, the way that Jesus looks at people.
He was remarkable that way, Ruth. He had time for everybody. No one was too small, too unimportant for, you know, this man who was the head of, you know, the largest Jewish ministry in the world to talk to. That was really special about him.
Another of his principles that I think really comes through maybe in the title and throughout the book, one of the things that Dad used to say is, there's no such thing as a comfortable cross. Meaning that when we follow Yeshua, we need to expect that there is going to be controversy and hardship. But as you also pointed out, these things are temporary, and they are for a lasting and eternal future that we look forward to with great joy. So even though there is no such thing as a comfortable cross, and following Yeshua means taking that cross, the controversy and the hardships are leading to something far, far greater and a greater hope that we look forward to.
So the idea that we are called not to an easy life, but a life of challenge and sometimes a life of trial and suffering.
Yes, he was called to controversy in a unique way as the founder of Jews for Jesus, but all of us, in a sense, who would follow Jesus are called to controversy.
Tell us about how your dad became a Jew for Jesus. How did Jesus make your father kosher?
How my father was made kosher by Jesus is he frequently said that the people who were praying for him to come to faith offered up prayers every day for 3 years, three times a day, and dad said that those prayers landed on the head of my mother because she was the one who came to faith first. She had come from a very strict Jewish upbringing, Orthodox Jewish upbringing, had rebelled and chafed against that strictness, had declared herself an agnostic, actually an atheist for a while. And after she and my father were married and she had her own home, there was really nothing to rebel against anymore, and she was very happy when they were expecting their first child and reached out to God as she had as a child and wanted to know him. And he answered that prayer.
And then what happened?
What happened was that God used music, as he does in so many of our lives, to open up our souls. And my mother loved Christmas carols. Christmas, of course, had been a very forbidden thing in her culture and in my dad's culture growing up in a Jewish community. But she became curious about the words, and her prayers to God became more specific, wondering why, if Jewish people weren't supposed to believe in Jesus, these Christmas carols talked about the Messiah and Bethlehem and the hope of Israel. And so she asked God to show her if there was anything to these, or if he wanted her to go back to the Orthodox religion in which she had been raised. And it wasn't long after she prayed that prayer that that a missionary came and knocked on the door. It was really phenomenal in God's timing.
And the missionary talked to your mother about Jesus being the Messiah, and I'm sure presented the case for his messiahship.
Mm-hmm. She had secretly been reading the New Testament. My mother had been, so
uh-huh.
She was ready.
And so she became a Messianic Jew, a Jewish Christian, a Jewish believer.
She did, and my father at first said, that's fine as long as you don't tell anyone. He wasn't going to make a big deal out of it, but when it became obvious that this was not going to go away, he got pretty upset about it, and she just continued to pray for him, and Yeshua was very evident in her life. And one time when he tried to ridicule what she believed, he kind of accidentally realized that he believed it too.
Do you know how long it was from the time that your mother became a Jewish believer till your dad wound up accepting the Lord?
Yeah, it was just a matter of months.
It was a short period of time.
Yes, it was a short period of time. I mean, it was about Resurrection Sunday when she went forward, and he made his profession of faith on Shavuot, Pentecost Sunday.
Okay, and then give us a brief history of your dad. After he became a believer, he wound up, going to Bible college, right? Northeastern Bible College?
Right, he went to Northeastern Bible College, and he was sponsored through that Bible college by the American Board of Missions to the Jews, which is now Chosen People. The missionary who had discipled him and my mom was with that organization, and he worked with them for some 17 years. And toward the end of that time, he was getting a bit radical, the head of the mission felt that he was going in a bit of a different direction and felt that he should cut him loose, which he did. And that's how Jews for Jesus got started.
And that was around 1973?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably a major mistake on the part of that leader of American Board of Missions to the Jews, letting your father go.
You know, I don't think that Dad ever saw it as a mistake, and I wouldn't put it that way. I think that it was all part of a plan in order for my father to have the freedom to do the things that he needed to do, and he actually reconciled with his former boss. His boss had said, listen, I'm doing you the biggest favor, and someday you'll thank me. And it wasn't long before my dad did thank him, and his boss said, yeah, I didn't think it would be this soon.
That was Harold, right?
No, that was Daniel Fuchs.
Daniel Fuchs. Okay. Well, tell the rest of us, from your perspective, what kind of impact has your father had, both on the Jewish world and the Christian world?
Well, I think that what you mentioned about the quote about putting on the map the issue of Jesus as the Messiah for the Jewish people, I mean, that was the main thing, and of course, Jews for Jesus exists to make the messiahship of Jesus an unavoidable issue to our Jewish people worldwide, and I think that that's a great part of his legacy. In terms of the impact on the church, I think that Dad was a really an encouragement for people to see that not only do Jewish people need to believe in Jesus, but that they can believe in Jesus, and to see that, you know, he was witnessed to by people who weren't Jewish as well as by my mom, and that people can be effective and make a difference in that way. A lot of people won't witness to Jewish people because they just don't think that it can be successful, and there was my father to show that that absolutely was not true. But I think that in later days, when the church is kind of questioning the need for Jewish evangelism, my father was very clear, and one of the things that he said, which is in the book, an article that he wrote, addressing the church, he said, bringing the gospel to the Jewish people is perhaps the most significant issue on which the church will prove its character, conviction, and commitment to evangelism in general. And so keeping that in the forefront, I think, is really something that is challenging for the church as well as encouraging.
Ruth, fewer and fewer people are reading books these days, and I'm not sure that biographies are on the top of the most popular kinds of genre for books. Why should someone make a special effort to buy Call to Controversy and read it?
Well, if you're interested in adventures, and if you're interested in how God shows himself to be real in people's lives, the book has something to say for you. My father's life was quite adventurous. A lot of things that were unexpected happened to him, and yet through it all, he always considered himself a regular person. And so you'll be reading adventures, but you're also going to be reading about a real person who had faults and frailties, just like I do, just like you do, Rabbi Lauren, and just like all of us have. And so if you want to see how God uses regular people in incredible ways, I think that the book will build your faith. And if you have a friend who hasn't met Yeshua personally, this journey of faith is something that might actually become a part of somebody else's journey as they're seeking the truth.
Thomas Nelson published your book, which Thomas Nelson is, I think, the largest Christian publisher, so that's quite something, right?
Encouraging, really very.
Really encouraging. How could someone order the book?
We would love it if you would order the book from Jews for Jesus from our website at www.jewsforjesus.org. And you'll see, if you go to our website, that there is a menu that says store. And if you click on that, you'll easily be able to order the book. And that would be great. And especially for listeners who are followers of Yeshua, if you would buy the book from us, it will also help our ministry, because any proceeds go back to the work of Jews for Jesus. So that's a way that you can not only have a book that I think you'll enjoy, but you'll also be supporting the cause of Jews for Jesus. If we have, you know, listeners who don't want to do that and you want to get the book elsewhere, I would just encourage you to get it in whatever way is going to be most preferable to you.
Like the local bookstore or Amazon,
yeah.
You know
it's
who's also
Kindle
carrying it,
well.
Ruth? It's Congregation Shema Yisrael is also carrying it.
Yes. Buy it from Rabbi Lauren. There you go.
How can people get more information about Jews for Jesus, the wonderful organization that you are working for?
Well, thank you for asking that. That very same website, www.jewsforjesus.org, has many ways that you can have all sorts of resources and allow us to be in touch with you. At this time, on our website, the best way for you to hear from us is if you will click the button that says Contact Us. You'll have choices, and one of those choices will be to get our publications. We have a free print newsletter that we would love to send you. We also have an e-letter that comes out monthly that's different from the print newsletter that we would also love to send you. That's called Real Time. So by going to our website at www.jewsforjesus.org, on the Contact Us, you can get both of those publications. You can also see some videos, read lots of articles, have your faith really affirmed and built, and use this, please, as a resource if you have friends who want to know how Jesus could make them kosher, or who want to know how in the world we believe that Jesus made us kosher. There's all kinds of good stuff on that website, and it's all, I shouldn't say it's all free. The things in the store aren't free, but so many articles and videos are free just for the taking. So just browse and have a ball.
And let me say this to the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 audience. The Jews for Jesus website really is fabulous and has a wealth of resources and is great to encourage Christians and also to present the case for Jesus being the Messiah to Jewish people. And also, the Jews for Jesus newsletter is really terrific. It's one of the best Christian newsletters out there. And Ruth, you're the editor of that newsletter, aren't you?
I am the editor of the Jews for Jesus newsletter, yes.
Okay. We just have a couple minutes. What would you say to a Jewish person right now who may be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher?
I would say that where you find your Jewish identity should be something that's positive. And I meet a lot of people who, if you ask them what it means to them to be Jewish, for some people they'll say, well, we're just not Christians. We just don't believe in Jesus. And being Jewish is so much more than that. And Jesus really is the greatest Jew who ever lived. And finding our identity in the Jewish Messiah is such an amazing adventure. I just hope that you will ask God to show you whether or not it's true.
That is great. Ruth, thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. I am looking forward to reading Called to Controversy, and I just want you to know that I'm really proud of you.
Rabbi Lauren, thanks so much for having me, and thank you for your friendship. It's really
great. You are so welcome. Much success with this book and other, who knows, maybe other books that are to come.
Hope so.
All right. Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you. Now, speaking about Shabbat, I want everyone to know that David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, is going to be speaking at Congregation Shema Yisrael tomorrow, Saturday at 10:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church, where we meet. It is open to everyone. David is a dynamic speaker. He's going to be bringing us, I'm sure, a great message from the Word of God. So we would love to invite the Faith Talk 1500 audience to join us tomorrow to hear David Brickner, Moshe's successor, give us a great talk from the Word of God. From Rabbi Lauren and all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, I pray that God's shalom, shalom, his perfect peace would be yours today, this weekend, and forever. Amen.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.